Very special weekend is coming up in Cleveland. NASA Glenn is celebrating their 75th anniversary. Of course, they've got NASA Glenn in the Brook Park area, and also out in Sandusky is the Plum Brook Station. I have two gentlemen that can talk all about the activities that the public can come and see and do. We have Community Outreach Manager David DeFelice. Good morning, David.
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
And also the director of the Plum Brook facility, Dave Stringer. So we got David and Dave this morning to talk about some of this that's going on. NASA Glenn's 75th anniversary. David, it seems like it shouldn't be that long. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting older, but it seems like space hasn't been around, or that kind of a facility hasn't been around for 75 years. But
yeah, we actually started, back more in the aeronautics realm of things. We were originally part of the predecessor agency called the National Advisory Committee for Aeronautics, and our original name was the Aircraft Engine Research Laboratory. And our primary focus at that time was, improving piston aircraft and the very forefront of jet engine work during World War II. There's a lot of big need where we had fallen behind the Europeans. And so we did that, but really very quickly on the heels of that, we started branching out and doing some space work. And it wasn't until 1958 that NASA was formed that we became one of the original centers as a part of NASA.
Seems sort of unassuming a little bit of what you do there, but there's a lot of things that NASA Glenn has done over the years that really has impacted and propelled, no pun intended, the space race and the space adventure.
Yeah, basically, we have a saying: if it flies, chances are there's Glenn technology inside it. Whether it's an aircraft, we've kind of improved jet engines and making them quieter, more fuel efficient, and more environmentally friendly, or just about any spacecraft, whether it's a propulsion system on it, communications technology, power systems. So we touch just about everything, and that's our role is a research center to provide advancements in various technologies to improve those areas.
David, what goes on over at the Plum Brook facility? How does that differ from what's happening at the Glenn NASA, or Lewis, rather?
Well, Plum Brook Station is primarily a test facility with four world-unique facilities, three for primarily space testing, although you can do the facilities don't care how they're used, but they're primarily used for space, and one that can do subsonic to hypersonic testing at high temperature with great electrical energy. So the reason why we have 10 square miles, 6,400 acres, is because a couple of the frozen gases that we use, hydrogen and oxygen, can be dangerous. And so this way we're able to keep if there happened to be an explosion, we keep the results on our property and no one else's, and we keep the noise primarily on our property as well, so that allows us to be good neighbors.
So you have quite a buffer zone between what you do and where the general public will be out on their normal days on the highways and on the roads in that area.
Absolutely true. And so we want to be good neighbors wherever we are in NASA, and certainly for the 9 million visitors that Erie County attracts annually, we want to make sure we don't impede people in their normal course of doing business or trying to have some recreation.
Well, David, let's talk about the events going on this weekend at NASA Glenn. What will the public be able to do?
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to throw our doors pretty wide open. We're going to have everyone do is actually start the day by driving over to the IAC Center just south of the airport here. And that's just because we just don't have the room to park, the vehicles for everyone, on site here. So we've got an arrangement with the IAC Center. So people will be able to go there. And then, important security things, basically prepare for your visit like you would go into an airport and all, in terms of prohibited items, those types of things. We'll have a little security check there, and then have people board buses, and then and primarily once you get here, it'll be a walking tour. We've opened up quite a bit of our campus, and we've got about a dozen research facilities open. You'll literally be able to walk through a wind tunnel, walk in or walk around and look down our zero gravity research facility. And we'll have a variety of other facilities and open throughout the day, both days. trying to keep both days as similar as possible. And then we'll have some talks. We've got two different astronauts coming in, one on Saturday and one on Sunday. They'll be giving talks and signing a few autographs, those types of things. And actually throughout the day we'll have some of our other researchers giving talks as well. For the kids, we'll have some hands-on make-and-take activities, some science demonstration carts that'll kind of show some of the basic principles at work. So like one of our vacuum chamber facilities will be available. We have some smaller ones compared to, say, the really large ones they have out at Plumbrook, but we'll show people a little a vacuum demonstration. This is how you create a vacuum and some of the principles and reasons why you want to do that.
How often do you open up the facility for the public?
We haven't done it since 2008, so it's about every, you know, 5 to 10 years, depending upon what's going on with various, you know, anniversary or dates or those types of things. So it's not something we can do on a on an annual basis. So yes, it's the first one we've done since 2008, so it's been 8 years, and we have no idea when the next one will be.
You have a lot of young people there. That's kind of, space is always one of those things that inspires people out there. And the fact that it's been 75 years, you know, there's people that have gone through, worked at that facility as well. Talk about what's happening there now that you can talk about that's, you know, really exciting for the space.
All kinds of stuff. You know, on the International Space Station, we actually have two refrigerator-sized experiment racks where we routinely set up experiments for the astronauts to conduct. So our primary areas are fluids research and combustion processes. And so the astronauts will conduct those experiments and then send the results back to us so we can understand some of the basic principles. And one of the combustion experiments we're actually is going to be conducted aboard one of the commercial cargo vehicles, the Orbital ATK, their Cygnus spacecraft, has an experiment on it called Sapphire. We're actually going to be intentionally setting a controlled fire inside the spacecraft, and so we're excited to be able to get the results for that. Of course, we still continue to do our work on jet engines and icing research, those types of things that we've done traditionally for pretty much all of our 75 years. Also work in communications technologies and advanced materials. So we're going to give everyone a little bit of feel for the various ways that you know, we're advancing research in different areas.
I'm looking at the information. I'm intrigued by the photovoltaic lab.
Yeah,
this is where.
So that's so the solar rays, solar cells that you use like to create sunlight, take sunlight and convert it into electricity. So it's what's used on the space station to generate electricity. But obviously, you know, they're used for terrestrial use as well, and that's one of our areas of expertise in doing that and how to do it more efficiently and be able to get the power out. And so yeah, we're actually that's not one that we've had open in previous open houses before, so it's something new that folks probably haven't seen before.
And speaking of haven't seen before, there's always people, you have a section called Dream About Deep Space Exploration. You have to have people working on possibility of things that they may need in the future. Talk a little bit about that, I guess. I'm looking at this Compass Lab that you have.
Yeah, the Compass Lab is where we actually have teams come in and look at concepts. And one of the concepts that came out of that lab was putting a submarine on Saturn's moon Titan, which actually has quite a bit of liquid. And we actually conceived out of that lab an idea for how to create a submarine that could actually explore the oceans of the planet Titan, and just various things like that where they just kind of come up with new ideas and how we might do it, and they can actually go through design and then actually print out, use a 3D printer to actually create a concept as the end result of a research activity that way.
We're talking,
it's pretty fascinating.
We're talking with Community Outreach Manager David DeFelice about the open house this Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 6 at the Lewis Field campus for an exciting open house, NASA Glenn's 75th anniversary. Of course, we have on the line also with us the director of the Plumbrook facility, Dave Stringer. You've got an open house coming up June 11th and 12th. People drive.
We do.
What's under that dome? You have the very unique looking building facility. What's take place under that?
Under that dome is the biggest space test chamber in the planet. So it would remind you of a very big cathedral like St. Peter's in Rome. It's actually a similar volume to the U.S. Capitol Rotunda. So pretty enormous, has the same echo effect when it's empty. And there we're putting through its paces one of the components that will make up the replacement for the space shuttle. So the Orion program has a crew module, and then its power pack underneath it is a service module. And so in cooperation with our partners in the International Space Station, European Space Agency is building two examples of that power pack, that service module, and a structural test article, a close-to-flight representative design is in Plumbrook Station being tested as we speak, and our friends and neighbors who don't normally get to see what we do inside will be able to see that, as well as the chamber it's tested in, and one of our other facilities, the only place where you can fire a rocket engine out of the bottom of a space chamber. So both those facilities will be on display.
How often are things going on in some of those facilities? Or is a lot of it planning, setup, meetings to get things ready, and then a test takes place?
Well, you have that exactly. It takes a lot longer to set up the experiments usually than it does to perform them, and that's because, especially if you have equipment that is both expensive and delicate, you want to make sure you get it in safely and you set it up properly for the testing. So, and you will also see that facilities tend to, if you have them for a single purpose, will tend to have periods of intense activity and then periods of inactivity. What we've tried to do out at Plumbrook is make sure that each of our four facilities has more than one use and more than one interested set of clients who might want to go use it. So that way you can help avoid those long periods of inactivity.
You got to make the best use of your facility, right?
Absolutely true. And you want our grandparents built these facilities. In fact, Plumbrook Station also has a 75th anniversary because it's 75 years since its first government use, which was a TNT plant in World War II.
Explain that. I can't leave that hanging. What does that mean?
So this was a place that took minerals and electricity and lots of water and 10,000 people to make the powder that was high explosive for bombs, rockets, and shells for World War II. They'd make the powder at Plumbrook. We continue to enjoy a very large 100-megawatt electrical grid that's our own grid, so we don't disturb our friends and neighbors off campus. And the concept was to make the TNT and then ship it by rail car to Ravenna Army Ammunition Plant in the World War II days, which is now an Ohio Army Guard Training Center.
So that's all of the uses for that, and obviously now you have different uses for that. Do you find, you've been there now for a number of years, do you feel like you're outgrowing the facility, or you wish you had something else, or do you look at other NASA facilities and think, oh, geez, I wish I was able to get some of that equipment or that type of a thing?
No, actually, in my last job in the Air Force, where I spent a career before I came to NASA, I ran the biggest ground test facility in the world, which is halfway between Nashville and Chattanooga. And I came up for the first time and saw Plumbrook the year before I was hired here, and it absolutely amazed me. The facilities at Plumbrook are truly the biggest and best in the world, and while we always look for ways to get more use out of the acreage and the facilities that we have, and we cooperate with other federal agencies and state agencies to that end, we can be completely proud of what we have at Plumbrook as Ohioans and as Americans.
And I guess, David, DeFelice, NASA is a pretty big employer in Northeast Ohio, too, I would imagine. Because
yeah, we have about 3,200 people here on the main Lewis Field campus in Cleveland, and a little over 100 out there at Plumbrook, Dave, right?
That's correct.
And yep, so we have a pretty big footprint that way, and then of course, the economic impact goes beyond that because of the suppliers and other folks who support the work, and pretty big impact.
Okay, well, it's always good, and people who are looking for careers and they're thinking of what they need to study, it's that whole STEM thing, I guess, that can kind of be on display at what happens at the NASA facility.
Yeah, we definitely want to encourage kids to be thinking about STEM careers, and so they can come and join our workforce at some point, and we always want to encourage that.
Well, that's what open houses do when they come and see a facility that they've only seen driven by from the outside and don't realize all the cool and interesting things and the important things that are going on. Again, David, if people want to get out to the open house, how do they go about getting details or doing something?
Easiest thing is go on the web to www.nasa.gov/Glenn75, and that'll take you to a series of pages. And actually, from that page, you can click on the link for the Lewis Field Open House, which is this weekend, and below that's another link for the Plumbrook Open House. Should mention for the Plumbrook Open House is kind of similar, where we're not going to be able to let people to drive right up onto the campus. So we actually have a partnership with Kalahari, the resort, which is basically right across the street there on Route 250. And so folks will be able to go there and park for free. And we're actually going to do a bunch of exhibits and activities in their convention center. And then people will be able to board a bus and take a bus tour to a couple of the major facilities there. So you can, again, get details of that on the website.
Our guest this morning, Community Outreach Manager David DeFelice, and also the Director of the Plumbrook Facility, Dave Stringer. Gentlemen, thanks for sharing all the details of what's going on, and happy anniversary.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
Okay, that's great.